Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everyone. God bless you today. And this is the day the Lord has made, and we will try to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Anyway, this is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And truly, we are in the end times as we see the day approaching, and we wait anxiously for the Lord Jesus Christ to return and to take us out of here someday. So anyway, while we're here on the earth, we have a job to do, and we try to do it well by telling people the truth and trying to help them stay strong in their Christian walk in these days. And I have a very special guest for you today, Jackie Alnor. And I will be bringing her on. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then Skype is working.
Yes, it's working. Sounds pretty good so far. And, of course, Jackie has been on the front lines for many years with her work in apologetics and her book, The Fleecing of Christianity. And we certainly see enough of that these days, don't we?
Well, I'll say.
And Jackie was just recently at the Parliament of World Religions. Now, that sounds like a high and lofty title. And Jackie, tell us a little bit about what the Parliament of World Religions is.
You know, it actually started, the first Parliament of the World's Religion started in 1893 in Chicago, where they had somewhere between 3,000 and 7,000 people coming. And it was an interfaith gathering in a way to try to bring, you know, peace, love, and understanding between all the world's religions, most of which we as Bible-believing Christians would refer to as false religious systems, or we would even call many of them cults. But all of the world's religions are trying to say that they need to get together really to be unified and to acknowledge the truth in one another, and no one to claim they have the only path to truth, and that only by doing this will there be peace in the world, and you know, and they need to take their rightful place.
Yeah, but an interesting fact about this Parliament of World Religions is they want peace and love, blah blah, but they don't want it with Bible-believing Christians.
Well, see, because we are exclusive, you've got the inclusive with. Something went off on my thing. My phone went off. Yes. But anyway, they want everyone to be inclusive, only they did identify two groups that are exclusive. Now, not all Christianity to them is exclusive. Only us who are Bible-believing Christians are excluded, the ones who recognize the signs of the times that we're in, you know, the Christians who are waiting for the return of the Lord. We are exclusionary because we claim that we believe what Jesus said when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to or gets to heaven except by me. Oh, boy, I really botched that quote. But anyway, they, you know, so that's the whole thing. He's the door. he's, you know, there's a narrow road that leads to life, and, you know, few there are that find it. The fact that we believe those things excludes us. And the other group that it's excluded, because we're the one, the other one that's excluded are Islamic suicide bombers.
Oh, you know. Well, yeah, that's a great comparison, isn't it?
Yeah,
wow.
We're the two enemies.
Wow, that's awful. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It only shows us really what awaits us in the future, how much we are really going to be hated.
Yes, you know, at the sessions, and of course there were so many sessions. There was, you know, over 200 sessions at this parliament that was held at the the convention center, the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was started last Thursday and just ended on Monday. So that was like a 5-day event with every sort of religion and belief system imaginable, all coming together and pretty much bowing to one another. Now, the Christianity, I'd say the evangelical supposed Christianity, had two representatives there. And one of them is Jim Wallace of Sojourners, and the other one was Brian McLaren, the leader, okay? Those two represented supposedly Christianity. And then there was another name famous in Christianity, though he was not representing Christianity. He was representing humanists, and that was Tony Campolo's son, Bart Campolo. He decided he wasn't going to be. He was I don't have it in front of me, but a chaplain. He was a Protestant chaplain at a university, and now he's the humanist chaplain.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
So, you know, and they say that you raise a child in the way he should go, in the end he won't depart from it. Apparently he hasn't.
Well, he followed right along with the two deceivers that were posing as brethren at one time, Tony Campolo and his wife. And, of course, they have been showing their true colors, especially as of late, with their views on homosexuality. So, but they did a pretty good job in the beginning deceiving people, if you didn't know any better.
Exactly. But, of course, we know that, you see, that does exclude us, that we won't show, you know, peace, love, and understanding towards same-sex couples as far as, you know, affirming. Certainly we Christians, you know, don't want to do to them what the suicide bombers, you know, want to chop off their heads, but we just want them to come to Christ and be, redeemed from that bondage that they're in. And, but that makes us evil. Now, there was a lot of Roman Catholic representatives there, too. In fact, because in light of what happened with the recent visits from Pope Francis and his acclamations for the, for the environment and all of that, his name was dropped by everybody of every shape, you know, every religion and even recently Oprah Winfrey dropped his name. Everybody is looking, I would say, the king and queen of the parliament, though they weren't there, but they were there by their tape messages and things like that, is Pope Francis and Oprah Winfrey. That's the king and queen of this movement.
Wow.
In fact, there was this thing that was handed out by the Catholics. It's this little card, and it has a picture of Pope Francis, you know, looking like he's in a meditative state. And it's called On Care for Our Common Home, because that, and it was his encyclical, came from his encyclical letter, it's something in Laudato Si, which is his, you know, his, I don't even, I guess that means Our Care for Our Common Home in Latin or something.
Yeah.
But they put this little prayer for our earth that was part of that, written by Pope Francis. And so he was lauded everywhere as the, pretty much as the one everybody seems to point to be kind of the unelected leader of the of interfaith right now.
Yeah.
And do you want me to read the little prayer? It's not that long.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay. It, you know, and the way it's really creepy the way it's worded, because, you know, Jesus' name doesn't come up in it, of course.
Yeah.
But here is Pope Francis's interfaith prayer. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love, that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it. That we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who, yeah, you're going to laugh. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the extreme of the poor of and the earth.
Please.
Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Signed, Pope Francis.
Oh, so were they reading this prayer?
They were handing it out. You know, they had a whole lot of booths set up. Every different religion had a booth. And this one, a lot of different booths were sharing this thing. In fact, it was on the Parliament. The Parliament itself had a table in right in the front, and in fact, everyone this was in the packet that we picked up as we, you know, as we went and got our tickets. Fortunately, I didn't have to pay the $500 admission. I got in under a press pass, and
oh, good.
Just so that you know, so here we are, you know, doing the radio show all about it, so that I was quite up front. Actually, I got in under my own blogcast, Rapture Ready Radio, and I was surprised they gave me a press pass.
Yeah, it was God.
Yes, I am honoring what I said, that I would be talking about the Parliament in my media that I have.
Yeah, so the Parliament of World Religions was in Salt Lake City, Utah. What a place to have it, really. So were the Mormons represented there?
Yes, the Mormons were there, and from those that went to the ones that had Mormons, because I was with a whole group of different apologists and researchers and writers, and
yeah.
That we all kind of joined up together. Carl Tykrib was there. He does a lot of, I hate to say, I don't know the name of his ministry offhand, but so was Ray Youngin, and also Don Vino and Bill McKeever, some of the guys from ministries to Mormons. But yet, you know, the Mormons are really on a mystical sort of slant themselves. Here's a common denominator that unites everybody except us, and unites the other section of people calling themselves Christians that join right in, and that is the exercises of things like meditation, contemplative prayer, and accepting everybody. You know, this do not judge anybody. The only one who gets judged is us who,
yeah,
you know, yeah, we're the only one. As a matter of fact, this one thing I was at, they were slamming the Tea Partiers. Oh yeah, it was the Tea Partiers they hated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay, though. Yeah, we don't hate. This is about love and peace and unity. But they can hate. Yeah, they hate the Tea Party. They hate Bible-believing Christians. honestly. Yeah, and the thing is, who's richer than Pope Francis? Who's richer? Who is richer on this earth than the Catholic Church? And yet to write such a stupid prayer, oh, the poor. I don't know why people can't see through it. It's just like when Pope Francis was here and he arrives in this jumbo jet. I think it was a 747. And then he gets into a Fiat.
It's all a stage, and he's an actor on it.
Oh yeah, he's an actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pretty good one.
Yeah, isn't he playing the humility card pretty well?
Yeah, he's playing it pretty well. Yeah, but they put it out there right in front of you, but yet that goes to show you how deceived people are, that they actually think that he cares about the poor, and look how humble he is when he gets off this big, huge airplane, and then he gets into the small car. And meanwhile, he's lifting up golden chalices encrusted in jewels, and he's wearing these very, very expensive clothes, and people can't see it.
No, because his acting as in all this humility has really hit a mark with all of these interfaith people. He really was the one that everybody would drop his name. I did want to read the three paragraphs that you should see the Parliament. What do you call this? The program. Well, you've never seen a program like this. It's almost 400 pages just in the program, showing you who's speaking where and the backgrounds and all of that. This is a huge, like a phone book almost.
So did they give that to everyone that came in?
Yes. Well, yes. But, of course, everyone pays $500. But, you know, I did get one gratis in my, they give you this this little bag that's filled with all kinds of little goodies like that.
Yeah.
The intro in the front of the program has a note from the process committee of the Parliament. And so you can listen to this and you can see where the Pope and Oprah's positions are just seen as, you know, absolutely they are the ones that are leading the way. They're the ones that are bringing all the people to these kinds of ideas the most. So here's what it reads. We first heard, the theme of this is called Reclaiming the Heart of Our Humanity. I guess each parliament time they have one, they have a theme. So we first heard the words Reclaiming the Heart of Our Humanity from one of the young leaders in our community who sensed that these words expressed something for which the world was deeply yearning. She was inspired by the heartbeat, the powerful potential of the 2015 Parliament of the World's Religions, thousands of kindred spirits grounded in faith, coming together with compassion and forgiveness, with curiosity and convictions, with expansive vision, and following a deeply personal call to action in response to the urgency of these times. We gather at a unique moment in history when movements are converging, when we are realizing that the underlying commonalities, the shared ground of our human experience, have a common origin and a shared future. This Parliament offers something precious, the rare gift of time and space, to explore that shared ground as we meet face to face and discover together what it means to reclaim the heart of our humanity, both individually and collectively. In the coming days, we will have many opportunities to listen to the compelling stories and inspiring ideas of our sisters and brothers and to share our own stories. We encourage you to also take time for stillness, to listen to your own heartbeat, to listen to the heartbeat of this Parliament, to listen to the heartbeat of our Earth. We invite you to live into the answers. We invite you to live into the answers to these questions. How am I going to take responsibility for restoring our humanity? What do I stand for? What am I trying to or willing to surrender? What radical gift have I been called to bring in service of healing our world? So those are kind of some big ideas, aren't they?
Yeah, those are some big ideas. Now, how many days was the meeting, and did they have like a main gathering at night where they had, there were supposed to be 14,000 people there?
They say 12,000 showed up.
Okay.
And yes, all day long was a variety of workshops. It was very hard to choose between them because you had a choice of like 30 to 50 workshops or so for each session, which was really crazy. Then they had the main plenary sessions in the evening.
Yeah.
And
so then were all the people gathered in there at night?
Oh,
the 12,000?
Boy, did I see that many? Well, I would say the plenary sessions, I don't think more than 5,000 attended, but I think, you know, some would have attended one night and not another night. I didn't attend the plenaries every night, but a couple of them I did. But some of the other people that I was with did, and you know, it was just crazy. The one I wanted that I couldn't not attend, and that was the one with Brian McLaren.
Yeah.
And he really didn't do an entire speech. He was one of many speakers who were given like 10 to 15 minutes to talk about our environment and what we could do, you know, to help our environment. Boy, you know what? I didn't write down what he said because I taped it on my camera. I can't really play that over the air, but, you know.
Yeah, so basically these evening sessions, then, they didn't have one main speaker.
Well, some of them did, but this particular one was a conglomeration. This one was hosted by Al Gore's daughter. And and Al Gore, he gave a special, you know, he started the evening off on tape because he wasn't there, but his daughter played the tape of him welcoming all of, you know, all of the world's religions and the importance that we all lead the way to humanity to show how we can all come together for, you know, peace, love, and understanding. Or they might as well say peace, love, and tolerance.
Yeah.
You know, that's because there's no understanding.
No.
But you know what? You know, let me tell you, the ones, it's funny because there was two guys, there was probably, I guess there was about 15 or so people who came up and gave their 10 minutes. Brian McLaren, you know, you could see he's got a very charismatic draw, and people, I think, respond when he came out. People were cheering, and more than any of the other ones that came out, there was different scientists talking about ecology and different things like that that came out. They even gave an award to one particular person starting off who had, you know, helped some indigenous people somewhere with, you know, getting water or something, but everybody really seemed to be there for Brian McLaren, which is a really sad thing to say. And he really didn't have anything profound, you know, just more of the same rhetoric about taking care of our planet, you know, and we were placed here to, you know, to tend the earth. That was a big one. And, you know, we were. But then again, his acknowledgement of all religions, that didn't go over too well with our little party.
Yeah, but so for people that don't know about Brian McLaren, who is he?
Oh, you know, it's fun. Hold on a second. I got to grab the thing because, I mean, you know, he pretty much is considered the star of the, you know, the movement, the emerging church.
Yeah.
You know, here's his little blurb next to him as far as the parliament's bio of him. It says, Brian McLaren is an author, speaker, activist, and networker among innovative Christian leaders. His dozen-plus books include A New Kind of Christianity, A Generous Orthodoxy, Naked Spirituality, Why Did Jesus, Moses, the Buddha, and Muhammad Cross the Road, and We Make the Road by Walking. He is a senior fellow with Auburn Seminary and a board member and leader in Covenants Network and Center for Progressive Renewal. He and his wife, Grace, live in Florida and have four adult kids and four grandkids. Okay, so that's his bio. But certainly the New Orthodoxy and some of his books that got really big, that really launched the emergent church movement, was, you know, taking away the black and white of the Bible and making it all gray, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, taking away the, you know, doctrines that we're supposed to just, you know, read just what we want to read out of the Bible, basically.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, at that plenary, the other two two of them I did agree with, and they were both Indians. One was the big Indian chief of some tribe up in, you know, an Indian tribe. Oh, they had all their Indian feathers and all of that.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful,
Yes, well, they have, you know, the indigenous beliefs, so you know, that's not what these guys brought up. What they brought up was the pollution going on with the mining and some of the fracking and things like that.
Yeah, the fracking, yeah.
Yes, that has caused, they were talking about where their reservation is, there's this huge increase in stomach cancer. And he showed pictures of this mining that was going on nearby where they weren't following anything. This was up in Canada. So you couldn't help sympathize with that because certainly.
Of course.
You know, you can't get around the fact that, I mean, you know, that this planet is being polluted. And
oh, yeah, you can't get around the fact, no.
No.
I noticed even about 11 o'clock at night, my house is shaking. My bed starts shaking. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Are they fracking or what?
Oh, boy.
I don't know what it is. And I can agree with many of the things that they're saying. And where are they going to drop all these toxins when they're doing their mining and everything? They put it in the water or they put it back in the ground and it gets into the water. So, yeah, I think they have some valid points, absolutely.
You bet. You know, so I thought, you know, so I was all for the chiefs because they have a real concern. And, you know, but nobody talked about chemtrailing. I mean, you know, what is that?
Nobody
doing
talked about it.
No, I didn't. Well, again, you know, when you have a choice of 30 to 50 workshops, you get, you know, you can only choose one.
Yeah, exactly.
And
sounds like the spirit of confusion.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the big theme seemed to be the answer to bringing peace and everything is the rise of women, is the feminist movement. And on this one panel of women, Marianne Williamson was one of the speakers.
Oh, yeah.
And what she, you know, she's always talked about peace, love, and understanding, but now she's saying women have to rise up and instead of speaking nicely, we have to start speaking fiercely. We have to be fierce now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But
the women, we are not going to take it anymore, you know, but I don't know what they're going to do.
What are they talking about? I don't even know what they're talking about. What are they talking about? What are women taking that they didn't always take?
All the stuff, you know, as far as equal pay and the rights to our bodies so that we can kill our unborn babies.
Oh,
you know.
So did they talk about abortion? Were they talking about it?
Well, you know, again, I know that that goes with the whole feminist agenda, but I didn't hear that spelled out.
Okay, so you didn't hear Marianne Williamson.
No,
she is a frequent, she is a good friend of Oprah Winfrey's, I guess. I mean, she has her on her spiritual programs.
Yeah, now Oprah Winfrey just came out with a new series called Belief that she's doing with the Discovery Channel now.
Oh.
And so you can even look this up on YouTube, the trailer for the new show. It actually just started last week, and it's just called Belief. And she also addressed the United Nations with all of the delegates from around the world, and that I reported on that on last night's Scattered Sheep report. And but she too is like I said, she's like the interesting thing in the trailer that you can find online is that she highlighted a girl from Chicago who went to, this is all stories about people who just have belief, not necessarily religion.
Yeah.
And so the very first one is a girl who goes searching for truth in India. And so she leaves Chicago, and then she talks to all the gurus and Hindu gurus and learns about, of course, meditation and all that kind of stuff. And they showed this clip of one of the yogis or whatever telling her, you'll never really reach your higher self without first believing and understanding that you are a goddess.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what Oprah thinks she is. And a lot of people think she is a goddess. And so now that, she follows up on Pope Francis speaking to the UN, and then she speaks to the UN, and then all over the parliament, everybody was asked and requested to sign a petition that the United Nations would start a spiritual arm that these, I guess the parliament people would then head up. And,
That's coming. That's coming.
Oh, yeah, that's really, really close.
Yeah,
but,
that's really close. Because they do have chapels and things in there anyway in the United Nations.
Yes, they do. In fact, I had heard somewhere where Deepak Chopra, I don't know if he still is, but was the official chaplain to the United Nations.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Was he there? Because he used to be a big star in that movement.
Yes, he was there also. I did not sit in on his session, but yes, he was there. So was the Dalai Lama.
Oh, the Dalai Lama was there. Oh, yeah. Oh,
he was one. He's one who is like the official, one of the official guys of the parliament. So he always goes to them.
Yeah.
So it was all like, again, all the world's false religions. Now, the funny thing is that. I didn't want to throw any the money in for admission any more than I wanted to throw in the $1,500 it would have cost to have a booth. Well, on Sunday, things were kind of, some of the people were leaving, and there was an empty booth with a couple chairs, and it was all around all of these Eastern religion booths, and I just thought, well, hey, I want to sit down and relax, so I went behind the table of the booth. And sat down, and I had a whole plethora of gospel tracts that I dragged out of my bag, and I put them all across the table.
Uh-huh.
And as people walked by, I was, pretty much telling everybody, that Jesus is the way, and anyone who comes in any other way is a thief and a robber. And I had a few interesting conversations with some of the passersby, and one guy was saying, I don't want to talk about that. So I started asking some questions, and talking. And by the end of the conversation, he was willing to take a tract. When I handed it, he handed it right back.
Yeah.
And, so that was interesting.
It would have been great, though, to have a booth there, because they would have had to have given you one, since they're all about unity and peace and love. Did any of the real Christian ministries have a booth?
No. I was trying to bring it together with some other
That would have been great,
ministries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to see if I could get others to, all pitch in, and pretty much I was getting a consensus that they felt that they would be tied to a booth, and they weren't interested in outreach as much as they were interested in gathering of information.
Yeah, although maybe next year, because they do have one every year. But yeah, not in the same location, right?
Well, not every year. Well, they used to have it every 10 years. Now, then it became every five.
Oh,
then
I
three,
see.
Now it's down to 2 years, so it may be two more years. But, yeah, I wanted a booth, but I couldn't hack it on my own. And so, but I determined to hand out tracts and witness to people everywhere, as did, you know, others that were there, Christians that were there, that were witnessing.
Yeah.
And you know, so I had some good one-on-one discussions, and, you know, whether it bears fruit, you know, all you can do is sow the seed and hope, you know, that it grows. But
yeah,
I
you never know. Yeah. So what was when you were passing out the tracts and talking to some of the attendees there, what were their questions? What did they ask you?
Oh, it was more me asking them because they didn't want anything to do with me. They just right away sized up. But, you know, it was funny because, Urantia, I don't know if you ever heard of Urantia. It's pretty much a cult that was based on channeling in from outer space from the Space Brothers or
whatever. Oh, is that like Shirley MacLaine and then that lady she used to hang out with?
Yeah, Daisy Knight.
Yeah. You don't hear about her anymore. Yeah.
No, I wonder if Daisy Knight died or something. I really don't know. I'll have to look that one up. But
yeah, we haven't heard about her in a while.
But see, my late husband wrote a couple books on UFOs. He wrote UFOs in the New Age, and he wrote UFO Cults in the New Millennium. And on one of those books, and I think it was the latter, he had to get the Urantia book that was all brought in, you know, that through you know, some sort of Space Brothers and some host that wrote it all down. And it's just full of, you know, really a lot of the kind of stuff that's being proclaimed all over the Parliament, actually. And but so much is all this stuff on the higher self and all of that kind of thing. But
yeah.
I talked to the guys there, and another Christian I know, he talked to. It's funny, when we started comparing notes, we found out we were talking to the same people. So God must have been sending us all to the same ones. We were kind of cracking up about that. So they just got a double witness, and we didn't even know it until we compared notes later.
Yeah.
You know, I told the guys at Urantia, you know, I got into a little bit with them, and they had this book about, you know, the sayings of Jesus or something like that. And when I was witnessing to them about Jesus being the only way, oh, yeah, we know, we got Jesus too. And he shows me that book. I go, oh, did that book come through, was that channeled from beings? Oh, yes. And I said, well, that's not the same Jesus as the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the eyewitnesses of the Bible is, if it contradicts that, it ain't the same Jesus. I call all other Jesuses, I call them Jesus. And he goes, oh, Jesus. The guy kind of laughed. I said, yeah, you don't have Jesus. You have Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know, but I gave him.
Yeah,
a
what
track.
Jesus are you talking about? The one that was walking around in Israel? Which
master.
One are you talking about there?
Yeah, their Jesus is an ascended master.
Yeah.
You know, there was even women dressed up. This one lady, I kept running into her, kept seeing her, dressed in a witch's outfit with a pointed hat. And she wasn't coming to a Halloween party. She really was a witch.
Yeah,
and she was all over the place. And then the whole time, the thing that a lot of us were irritated by is there was this big room on the main floor that would have different dancers and musicians and all that going on all the time. And they would have some of this horrible music. You listen to my last night's show, I played a recording of one of them. And it was like drumming. Here you are trying to have a conversation.
Kim Clement's drumming.
it's even worse than Clement. Well, Clement actually plays the piano, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's got those drums in the background.
Yes. But anyway, here you are trying to talk, and you've got this nonstop drumming beat, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
hypnotic, maybe, the hypnotic thing.
Very hypnotic. And then sometimes they'll have chanters coming in there just chanting. Then there was this group that was singing and dancing of some, you know, they look like the local Mormons, you know, all the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white kids all singing, you know, the song "We Are Family."
I wish you could have made a documentary of it.
I know.
You know,
really.
With your own spin.
Well, I got some film. Maybe I'll do that. But
yeah, it would be great. It really would.
But you know, I went from grabbing people stuff. I'll just you know, I have this stack here. I'll just tell you what groups there are of stuff that I gathered.
Okay.
Of the different groups. Okay. Here's a brochure. Seriously, it really was nuts, Susan. You should have been there.
I wish I could have been there. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, the book. They had a whole huge hall just full of everybody's books. Okay, you would have had a field day in there. Okay, here's a brochure from the Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians are claiming that they are the source of all monotheistic religions, Jews and Muslims and Christianity, that it the source is Zoroastry. And so here's one from the Baha'i. And so the a big old booklet on, it's called the Interfaith Prayer Book that the Baha'is were giving out, and that is prayers from all the different religions, and that, you know, even they have some scriptures in there that's, you know, selective. Let's see, who is this? Oh, here's the Urantia one, and you know, and they've got the seven life-changing truths from the Urantia book. You know, typical things like a fragment of God lives within each of us, and human life has a divine purpose. We live in a universe filled with trillions of inhabited worlds, all this kind of stuff, you know, with the UFO stuff.
Trillions of inhabited worlds, yeah.
Yes, so, yes, yeah. Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Now here's the Sojourners. Now that's Jim Wallace. He's a groove. Anti-Israel, very, you know, Sojourners really hates Israel, and they're just these Christians, so-called Christians, and, you know, he says, oh, you know, complaining really about Muslims and, of course, anybody else, he says you can't kill extremism by bombing the extremists, but I'll bet he'd like to, if you don't want to be extreme, you see, to be extreme. Dream. Okay, so that's the Sojourners magazine. Oh, I talked to this fella. This guy is out of the religion department. The journal. He's the. His name is Leonard Swidler. I think they left the N out. It should have been Swindler. From Temple University, and he's with the Dialogue Institute, the Journal of Ecumenical Studies. But actually, I found out by asking that he's a Roman Catholic, and I spent a bit of time trying to talk to him. But pretty much, if you do not, you know, according to his little flyer, the goals that they want to do, one of those goals is to reduce prejudice and intolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what you tell, you could read into that. And they want to mentor emerging leaders and social entrepreneurs and, you know, engage in dialogue with all of these professionals so that they can get these ideas into colleges. Of course, you know, this is a university professor.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the Christian Science Monitor. Christian Science had their people there and, you know, selling of all of their stuff. And, again, this magazine is, you know, did a whole thing on this, what the heck is this? Well, everybody praying to the same place, I guess, because everybody thinks they do. Okay, here's a group that, you know, that I guess it's no question that they're there, but the Council on Foreign Relations. They handed out their position paper, CFR, Religion and Foreign Policy Initiative, and they had a booth in which they were it says the religion and foreign policy portal of the CFR serves as a gateway to CFR's most relevant material on international issues for faith communities. And, you know, so they're showing
Well, that
out.
Sounds like some buzzwords that some of these so-called Christians are using, portal and gateway.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you see the influence because of the God of this world, don't you?
Yeah.
All through it, you see his fingerprints on everything. Okay,
yeah.
Now here's a thing that came. Oh, there were many of these, sadly. This is from Chicago Theological Seminary, and it's from the United Church of Christ owns the seminary, and they're promoting their courses in, you know, well, not only. Here's like some of their courses that they offer, and this is an accredited so-called Christian seminary. They have courses on psychology of the oppressed and liberation theologies.
Wow.
Homosexuality and biblical interpretation. A whole class on telling you how to prove by the Bible it's okay to be homosexual.
Shocking.
Yeah, like listen to this one. Dangerous religious ideas, revelation, and religious experience. So, and dangerous religious ideas. Where do you think those are?
Yeah. Well, they actually wrote those, so you have all that written in the literature that they were passing out.
Well, this is just a little a booklet that tells you what classes they have at their seminary. You know, representatives of the Holy Hill and all of that were there too. Okay, Theosophy Society, they handed out stuff on Helen Blavatsky. And
yeah, now give a little background on her.
Well, let's see. I mean, I could give you my thumbs up. Let me see if it's just... I'll just read the lead in this little flyer.
Okay.
Helen Protovna Blavatsky, 1831 to 1891, one of the founders of the Theosophical Society, was a remarkable woman who has made a great impact on the thought of the Western world. In her own day, she was controversial because of her remarkable abilities of extrasensory perception, her forthright and outspoken nature, and her fearless attacks on hypocrisy and bigotry. Even today, she continues to be the center of curiosity and attention as the precursor of new ideas. Her great metaphysical knowledge is embodied in her literary work, which has directly or indirectly influenced inquiring minds all over the world. Okay, and then they talk about her greatest work was The Secret Doctrine, and it was some big thing in two volumes. And you know, she was an occultist.
Yeah,
I don't. You know, they say well she had peace. You know, ESP. I almost said PCP.
But she also influenced Adolf Hitler.
Oh yes. I mean, she was. Oh, you can see these pictures of her with those.
Yeah, she's spooky
scary,
looking.
Empty eyes, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, very
scary
empty.
Looking?
Yeah, she's
okay,
scary looking.
So that brochure they were promoting here. Okay, here's a booklet that was handed out called "The Way to Happiness: Safeguard and Improve Your Environment," and this is a whole book that they handed out, and it was written in very small letters. You have to find it on the back, but it was written by L. Ron Hubbard.
So the
booth of that Scientology had, you know, they look like they're I didn't see anything about Dianetics. It looks like they're trying to start a whole new PR campaign or something.
Uh-huh.
They were like doing I don't know if it was Reiki, however you pronounce it, or different massages on people.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, everywhere you go there would be people. You know, putting their hands and transferring of energy, you know,
from one to the other.
Okay, the next thing, getting through this stack, is a group I never heard of. It's called Aumism. It's spelled AUMISM.
And Ahmism, I guess this is one of the, this is a new one. It says that it's unity and respect of religions, unity and peace between all nations, unity and harmony in the world, unity to save Mother Earth. And it's, you know, you can find out all about them at Ahmism on one side, but this says Ahmisme org, like AUMISME org. And they are, they have this whole thing called Unite. So you've got this, the greatest masters, oh, this Lord Hamash Manara something. I can't even pronounce that last name, but I guess it's some big Indian guru. And they have these, oh, I see, it's a, oh, they've got, oh, some scary things, some pictures of different buildings that they have where they're just showing Buddhas and Mahdi's from Islam, and they've got this whole big thing, this huge statue of the thing they call the Cosmic Christ. I don't know what look that up. The Temple of Kalki, and they've got now some big thing called the Pyramid Temple of Unity. Now, it's all these different buildings and so-called holy cities. Oh, the headquarters is in Ahmism is in France.
Oh.
And this stuff, just looking at it, you'd have to see it, but it just looks creepy.
Yeah,
but
it's
you can
creepy,
look them
yeah.
up, AUMISM, and see how creepy they, those are scary. Oh, now here's one that was really creepy. These people were like from the Edgar Casey Foundation or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave me this little booklet called Spiritism in its Simplest Expression.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't read their little booklet yet, but they really say that spiritism has been given a bad name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they, too, are trying to redeem, you know, their you know, the way people see them, whatever, and they're not doing a very good job of it. Okay, now this one's weird because these are two little things I got from the Elijah Interfaith Institute. Isn't that weird that they would use the word Elijah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough when the so-called prophet grabbed that name.
The Elijah list, yeah.
Yes, yes. But this is the Elijah Interfaith Institute. And let's see. You know, you can find them on Facebook, Elijah Interfaith Institute.
Okay.
And they had, let's see, their booklets. Let's see, have a house of prayer and education in Jerusalem. So they work out of Jerusalem trying to bring everybody together in harmony. And they have, let's see, the board of, it says Elijah Board of World Religious Leaders. So they have a board. And it has, it says that leaders bring together some of the world's most prominent religious figures from Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, and the religions of India. And the group has about 70 leaders representing the major religions and includes the Dalai Lama and Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Grand Mufti Mustafa Sarek, and many other high-ranking religious leaders. So this is some umbrella organization for all of them.
Yeah.
I just was bugged that they would use Elijah.
Yeah.
And let's see. But anyway, okay, here's, this was a tea room. People in the tea room it's called the Bamboo Bridge. And
yeah.
It's a global tea house. And so you could go to their booth and get all kinds of like white roots for healing. They have all of these, you know, plant remedies for your animals and your and people and all of these. It's all this natural stuff that,
yeah,
you know. Oh, you can take a foot bath for healing and peace. Well. Okay, here's the last thing I have in my stack. This is the Humanist magazine, a magazine of critical inquiry and social concern. And, of course, the Humanists, like I said, they had to have their representative, and they just happened to choose Bart Campolo.
But really, the cover story in this issue of the Humanist magazine was about the is an article written by Kelly Carlin on Truth and Lies and Growing Up with George. And so it's George Carlin's daughter. Remember the comedian?
Yeah.
And he was a very famous humanist and everything. So this whole thing was just on the, you know, the glory of George Carlin, who was really kind of a pitiful character.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he was raised in a bad situation, I know, with the in the Roman Catholic, as a Catholic. And he just decided, you know, after seeing so much abuse and everything, that he just hated, you know, any institutionalized religion. And,
yeah.
You know. And became pretty much an agnostic. But, you know, even the humanists are included in all of these religions. They don't, you don't even believe in God. Agnostic, atheist, it doesn't matter. Just not you or I or the suicide bombers.
Yeah. 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 But it must have been a quite an interesting few days. I would think it would be very eye-opening to actually be there and to see all this firsthand.
It was a little creepy, and
yeah.
You could just sense the immense variety of demonic powers all over the place.
Yeah. And they seem to be growing in numbers.
Oh, absolutely. And if they become part of the UN, what's going to be, where's that going to go?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's definitely going to happen. I'm interested to know now, were the Muslims represented? As far as you said, the Grand Mufti was there. Was he was there?
Well, I'm not sure if he was or not, because that was just in a flyer. But, you know, there's so many. But there was. But I did go to one workshop with a Buddhist monk and a who was with a imam of some sort, you know, and they were, you know, talking about, you know, the unity between those, the certain Muslims that, you know, like that guy represents, the monastic Muslims and the Buddhists.
Yeah.
So everybody was kind of, you know, intermixing with each other and, you know, bowing down to the God in everybody, the whole namaste, or however they put it.
Yeah. I wonder why Oprah Winfrey wasn't there.
You know, it was, I believe it was on the 18th, while this was going on, that she was in New York City talking to the UN.
Oh, I see.
So she said,
so did she actually address the General Assembly, or was she just in a small...
No, it was... Look it up on YouTube. It was the General Assembly.
Oh.
And it's there. She talked maybe for 10 minutes, but it's
yeah.
all there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she's just promoting this program called Belief, but it has an agenda behind it, and she's trying to, you know, push this acceptance of all religions and the you know, the brotherhood of man, rejoining all of humanity under, you know, certain commonalities that we recognize the divine in ourselves and in one another.
Yeah. And, of course, she hooked up recently with T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen, and I think she did have Rob Bell.
Oh, yes, Rob Bell, absolutely. He's another one, and Rick Warren as well.
Oh, was he there?
No, he wasn't there at this thing, but I think I'm pretty sure I saw something where she visited Saddleback and did something over there a few years back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that she would be one of the heads, one of the most popular people there, along with Pope Francis. Because I would think newer thing.
That is, but yet that's what everybody keeps looking at. Those are the biggest celebrities of the movement. Those are the, you know, their representatives. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of it, if you weren't saved, if you didn't have the Word of God, so much of this just sounds easy to believe, especially, you know, with the motives of wanting everybody to get along and to end, put an end to wars and put an end to poverty and all these things. I mean, who wouldn't want to go along with that? It's only those who know the Word of God and understand Bible prophecy to know where this stuff is leading. Those are the ones that are going to be shielded from going along with this stuff. So so-called Christians who do not believe in Bible prophecy and see the signs of the times, they will go right for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that in the times that we're living in. It's so people call good evil and evil good. And
exactly.
People are becoming more and more aggressive. I think they're becoming more hateful, especially
yep.
toward Bible-believing Christians. And, it looks good, but if people really would realize that here we are in the year 2016 and no one has yet to been able to be able to solve world hunger or to bring peace to the world. And people still live in abject poverty in many places, including this country. So there hasn't been any solutions yet, permanent solutions to the problems, except real Christians, Bible-believing Christians, are the ones that really can affect a change, because you have to change, someone's heart has to be changed in order for
yes,
peace
but,
and to
we
come.
Will, but we will be, you know, like Jesus says, we'd be a light set on a hill, and if we raise up Jesus, then he will draw all men to himself. But even if he draws all men to himself, all men are not going to receive him. In fact, he said that they will hate you just like they hated me. So he already let us know in advance that those who prefer to live in their sin are not going to come to the light. So, you know,
yeah.
we're not going to be changing the culture. We're not citizens of this world. It's the God of this world that really most people are in bondage to, and
yeah.
they prefer that. They prefer that. I've never seen so many like foggy, empty faces in all my life as in that gathering.
Yeah. It reminds us of when we were young and we were children of the 60s, and that the faces look probably a lot like what we used to see, the blank stares and the fixed
yes.
eyes, the
yeah.
gaze,
yeah.
and the emptiness, really. So
yeah,
we
and,
really have our
and,
work cut out for us.
And the idolatry, the
yeah.
way they look at the big people in the movements and stuff, and it's like they want to throw themselves at these people's feet, like the Dalai Lama, who would have this acclamation. And you know, if Oprah looked that way when she walked into the room on the UN, from what I saw in that video, then there's a hush, you know, and waiting for every, you know, the wisdom to come out of that mouth. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're looking for someone to follow. They're ready to accept.
Well,
them,
you could see where when Pope Francis was here recently, the crowds that he drew, and here's a man that has no charisma. I mean, he's not an eloquent, charismatic speaker at all.
Not at all.
Not
but
at all.
Worship him. They're
yeah.
looking for something to tangibly worship.
Yeah. Yeah, and that amazed me, is that he drew such big crowds, and people were grabbing at him, and then they'd start crying if they touched him, and
yep.
But it was really it showed us what's to come. Like you said, they're looking for someone to worship, so they'll worship the Antichrist. They'll worship him because he's going to
they're
promise
ready.
Them. They're ready, yeah, and he'll
yeah.
be charismatic. He'll be charismatic.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's yeah. what will help to draw people. Because I was amazed. I thought, if this many people, millions of people, could come out for this guy who's got nothing to
it
offer.
It just shows that the world is ready for that
yeah.
That false Messiah. The world is ready, willing, and waiting on the edge of their seats for him, just looking around for him.
Yeah, that's what I saw, because I couldn't believe it when I saw the people coming out for him the way they did. And
him never even mentioning Jesus while he was here.
No. And he even put himself to sleep when he was talking.
I know. He's pretty dull, isn't he?
Yeah. In fact, my friend says, if I can't sleep at night, all I have to do is listen to Pope Francis.
Well, you know, the media loves him.
Yeah.
They're just waiting for him to acknowledge same-sex couples and some of these things, which I don't even think he can do at the present time, because of there are some conservative forces within the Roman Catholic Church who are, you know, kind of having a tug of war with Francis in the middle, you know, between the left and the right in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, but of course they've become much more radical the way they're dealing with things than they ever were.
Well, and they've lost, their membership has really just crashed. And
So
they're having to be more inclusive in order to fill those pews again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they push illegal immigration the way they do, because most of the people that they're pushing to come here are Catholics.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, it's an interesting time to be alive, that's for sure. And we thank God for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are out there on the front lines, and our sister Jackie, who's been out there for many years. We're grateful for her and her website and all the work that she's done for the church.
Yes, and people can find me at raptureadyradio.com and listen to my show, too, that I do on Friday nights called The Scattered Sheep Report. And I try to keep people up on, you know, what I see going along that is bringing in the great whore, the new world religion that is forming, and just looking at the signs of the times that Jesus is coming back soon. But it's been a pleasure being on your show.
Yeah, it'll be great to see him again. It'll be great to see him. And, okay, so they can find you at Rapture Ready Radio, and also your book, The Fleecing of Christianity, is on Amazon.
And, of course, I'm on Facebook. Just look up my name on Facebook.
Yeah, go to Facebook and interact with Jackie. She has a wealth of knowledge and spent many years doing research and such valuable information. And your website is up and running.
Well, I'm working on updating one. The Rapture Ready Radio one will take you to my program, and it'll take you to my blog, which is at the Scattered Sheep Report.
Okay, then. She's got a wealth of information. Then you can spend many happy hours learning things that would help you in your Christian walk. Jackie, thank you so much. God bless you. And
God bless you.
It's great to talk with you again.
Been my pleasure, Susan. Stay in touch.
I will. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And remember, the most important thing is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you're not born again, you can receive forgiveness of your sins today. If you would only repent and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, ask him to come into your life today and to give you a brand new life. He did it for me, and he did it for Jackie, and he's done it for millions of people, where he will forgive your sins, he will forget about your past, and you can start all over again. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the book of Romans today. The book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So get down on your knees today and cry out to God, a real God, a loving God who sent his son to die for your sins so you wouldn't have to die in them. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, record, here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.